Well, once again, thanks for joining us today. We're glad that you're tuning in from wherever you are. And it's so good to be able to have Jordan and his group help us in worship all the way from Kansas City. That's kind of one of the neat things about the technology and the situation that we're in. We can kind of get help from all over the place. And so thankful for Jordan and his group there helping us out with worship. And they do a great job. Well, hey, we're going to look into the Word this morning, and today we're going to start a new series of sermons that I've called simply, I Am. For whatever reason, this theme and idea has come to me over and over again, and it's captured my attention and my interest in a new way. See, in the Gospel of John, there are seven very definitive statements that Jesus makes about himself, and in each of those statements, he uses the phrase, I Am. So we're going to look at each of these over the next several weeks. But before we start, it's important for us to lay some groundwork and kind of some background and a foundation for what's going on. The first thing we need to do is understand exactly what Jesus is doing in each of these statements that we're going to look at. The phrase, I am, is not just descriptive, it's defining. Jesus here, when he uses this phrase, is referring back to the interactions between God and Moses that day at the burning bush. When God is giving Moses his mission to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, Moses asks God this question. When I go to Pharaoh, who should I say is sending me? God said, tell them I am sent you. So when Jesus talks to people and when he uses the phrase, I am, he is actually identifying himself as Yahweh or God. And it speaks of his self-sufficient existence, as one author puts it. And the Jews who heard Jesus use this statement would certainly understand right away what he was talking about. They would recognize that phrase and they would understand the meaning of it. So what Jesus is doing when he's using this phrase is identifying to the people who he is. He is God. We also need to understand why Jesus is making these statements. Each metaphor that he uses to define himself speaks of his saving purpose. And we must always remember the primary reason that Jesus came. In his own words, found in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. So what is he doing? He's identifying himself as the great I Am. Why is he doing it? He's talking about his mission and his purpose for being here. So today, we're going to begin this I Am study with his identification as the bread of life. And the scripture reading for today is found in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 40. Let's just read some scripture together this morning and kind of set the groundwork for what's going on. In John chapter 6, verse 25, it says this, now when they, speaking of the crowds, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you were looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. And here's our key verse for today. In verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. God, this is your word. I just ask you to use it and bless it for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I could always tell when my mom was baking bread. The aroma of it filled the entire house. And I couldn't wait for it to come out of the oven, because we all know that bread is the best when it's fresh and when it's warm. See, bread is a very common part of our basic diet. And it was the same in Bible times. It would have been even considered an essential part of the diet to the people there. So Jesus is using a very familiar term and a very familiar thing to teach an important truth. So I want to ask us some questions, and I want to look at some important attributes or some important qualities and things about bread that are very important. What is Jesus trying to teach when he calls himself the bread of life? Well, the first thing we need to kind of remember and understand about bread is the fact that it's satisfying. Bread is satisfying. When you're hungry, bread can be very filling. Let's review kind of what happened just earlier in this very same chapter that we didn't read. The night before, just the night before this instance that we find ourselves in now, Jesus is with his disciples out on the hillside, and as they look up, they see this great crowd of people coming to them because they're following Jesus and they're coming to see Jesus. And it's evening time. It's about time for the evening meal. And there are thousands. The scripture here tells us there are over 5,000 people in this crowd the night before. This is the instance we know where Jesus is given the five small loaves of bread and the two fish by the young boy who was traveling through the wilderness that day. And Jesus takes those five loaves of bread and those two pieces of fish. And it says he blessed it and he broke it or divided it, and he had the disciples distribute it to all the people. And all the people there ate until they were full, until they were satisfied. Scripture tells us they ate until they had had enough to eat, which means they weren't hungry anymore. They were satisfied, at least until the next day. After that, the large crowd was fed. Jesus and his disciples crossed back over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the next morning, the people realized that Jesus was gone. So they got in their boats and they crossed over, because now they're looking for Jesus. So let's understand some very important things here before we go any further in this lesson or this story. Let's understand, first of all, that there are two types of hunger. There's physical hunger, and then there's spiritual hunger. To go along with that, we need to understand there are two types of food. There's physical food that takes care of our physical hunger, and then there is spiritual food that satisfies our spiritual hunger. We also need to understand that there are two types of satisfaction. There's the temporary and the eternal. And that's where we are in the story today. Once they find Jesus, someone in the crowd asked him just kind of a generic question to start a conversation, so to speak. He says, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Well, Jesus immediately sees through their motive and he goes right to the point. And it's an interesting conversation. Let's look at how Jesus approaches this. The first thing Jesus did is he tells them why they're looking for him. Jesus gets right to the point and he tells them why they're looking for him. He basically tells them that the reason they're following him now is because of the meal that he provided for them the evening before. You see, they're hungry again. And Jesus pretty much tells them that what they're really looking for is another free meal. You see, the satisfaction they found in what Jesus provided for them the evening before was temporary. Does this idea of temporary satisfaction sound familiar? Our world seems to thrive on it. People get involved in a lot of different things while searching for satisfaction. Probably most of the addictions that we see and deal with in our world today are the result of people looking for satisfaction. And the reason we become an addict to something is because once the initial level of satisfaction wears off, then we need something more. It's never enough. Whether it's drugs or tobacco or alcohol or pornography or sexual addictions or food or a number of any other things, addiction sets in when we realize that our satisfaction is only temporary. But it doesn't really fulfill the greater need in our life. It doesn't fill that void of whatever's missing. Well, the good news is Jesus has an answer. Because then he comes back and he tells them, he told them what they should be looking for. In verse 27, he tells them that they should not be looking for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. He describes this as the true bread from heaven given by his Father. You see, Jesus is trying to get them to look beyond the physical and the material satisfaction and instead find satisfaction that is lasting. And he is so convincing that then they ask him, from now on, can you give us this kind of bread? Can you give us this bread that you're talking about? Then Jesus tells them why they should be looking for him. First, he told them why they were looking for him. Now he tells them why they should be looking for him. In verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Then let's understand what Jesus is doing here. By defining himself as bread, Jesus is telling them now that he is the essential need in life. He is the only way that they can find true satisfaction. And when he says life, he's referring to eternal life. He's not talking about just the earthly, temporary life. What Jesus is making here is actually a very incredible statement. He's saying, I am Yahweh, God. I am the bread of life. I am the source of life. So we find that bread is satisfying. But it goes beyond that. Bread is not only satisfying, bread is sustaining. You see, it not only satisfies hunger, but it also sustains life. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that bread is the most nutritious or the healthiest food that we can eat, and we certainly shouldn't eat too much of it, but it can keep us alive. You see, in the physical sense, we have to keep eating because we become hungry again. If I eat breakfast in the morning, that satisfies me for a while, but come along lunchtime, I'm going to need something else because I'm hungry. The satisfaction is temporary, and the sustaining aspect of it is temporary. So in the physical sense, we have to keep eating because we become hungry again after a while. But Jesus here defines himself as the bread of eternal life, the bread that gives life. In the last part of John, chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You see, what Jesus is talking about here is the spiritual satisfaction and fulfillment that he actually offers. He's talking about an ongoing and sustained level of satisfaction that we can't find anywhere else. You see, this reminds me of another conversation Jesus had just a couple of chapters earlier in the book of John. It's with that Samaritan woman just outside the city limits of Sychar at Jacob's well. And we all remember that conversation about how Jesus asked her if she can get him a drink of water. And then he goes into the conversation about how the living water and the water that he provides And if we would drink of the water that he provides, then we will never thirst again. He told the woman that the water that she was drawing from that well would bring temporary satisfaction, but the water that I give is living water. And if you drink the water that I have to offer, it will sustain you, not only satisfy you, but it will sustain you and you will never thirst again. He said the water that I give and offer will actually become a spring of water that results in eternal life and it will sustain you forever. Think of his words. He who comes to me will never go hungry and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that very important passage that we call the Beatitudes when Jesus is teaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." They will be filled. What does that mean? It means filled to satisfaction. It means filled to the point where there's nothing lacking in our life. If we hunger and thirst after his righteousness, he can give us food and water that sustains us. The key is this. I have to ask you the question. I have to ask us the question today. What are we hungry for? What are we thirsty for? Are we still chasing after the things of the world that only provide temporary satisfaction and can't sustain us? Or are we hungry and thirsty for the very righteousness of God? You see, only the bread of life, only the true bread of life that we find in Jesus can satisfy and sustain us. What are we hungry for today? Are we satisfied with temporary benefits or do we want something more, something eternal? Bread is also symbolic. Bread is symbolic. When Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he shared with them in what we know as the Lord's Supper or communion, the Eucharist. As they were sitting around the table that evening, the scripture tells us that Jesus took the bread from the table. And it says he gave thanks for it. And then broke it. Kind of like he did along the Sea of Galilee that day with those 5,000 plus people. He blessed it and he broke it. And he divided it and then he distributed it to his disciples. And he explained to them that the bread represented his body that would be broken for them. He invited them to eat the bread as a reminder of the sacrifice that he was about to make on that cross. And he said, when you do this, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. It was symbolic. It's what we call sacramental. A sacrament is a symbol that we use in a religious sense to represent a very specific religious and Christian meaning. He says, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. It symbolizes my body that is broken for you as a sacrifice for sins. And not only is it a reminder of the past, but it is something that we still do today in anticipation of his coming again. Jesus also told his disciples that night, he said, I'll not drink of the cup of this vine. I'll not drink of the fruit of this cup again until I drink it with you in my kingdom. So we have something to look forward to. It's when the bread of life, Jesus, the very bread of life, returns to call us home. Understanding Jesus to be the bread of life is spiritually essential. It's spiritually essential. It's so important that we understand the meaning of this and we understand and believe and realize this in our own personal lives. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus uses two words here in verse 35 that are extremely important. He says that anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. I remember an old song that we used to sing out of the church hymnal. Whosoever will may come, whosoever meaneth me. He says, anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. And what does it mean to come to Jesus? What it means is this, that we're willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him no matter where it leads. It means that we make a choice to turn our backs on the world and turn our eyes upon Jesus. It means that we're willing to repent or turn away from sin. And see, the promise that goes along with that is that anyone who comes to me, he says, I will never turn them away. Anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, if you want the old King James language. Anyone who comes, I will never turn away. They won't be refused. You may be listening to this message today and you think, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. That's between you and God. Here's what I'm telling you. No matter who you are, no matter how you've grown up, no matter what your background, no matter where you are right now, no matter how much sin you find yourself in, Scripture tells me that if we come to Christ in an attitude of prayer and repentance, he will not turn us away. That's a promise that we have. The second very important word that he uses here in this verse, he says that anyone who believes in me will never be thirsty. To believe is much more than an intellectual idea. It means to actually place my faith in Jesus Christ. It means that I truly believe not only that Jesus exists, but that he is who he says he is. It means to believe that Jesus is and was God in the flesh. It means to believe that he is the Savior of the world. It means for us to believe that he is the Redeemer. It means for us to put a personal faith in him as our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 summarizes the importance of this idea very well. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not maybe, not might, not possibly, not potentially. You will be saved. But I have to admit and confess who Jesus is and believe with all my heart that God raised him from the dead and he still lives today. And if we do that, we will be saved. You see, Jesus came. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we simply cannot find true satisfaction in life without knowing Jesus, not just who he is, but knowing him. We cannot have eternal life without knowing him. He is the bread of life, the source of life, the giver of life. And we can't know true life without knowing him. So let me ask you a question today. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus in an attitude of repentance and sorrow for your sin? Have you believed in him as your personal Lord and Savior? I pray that you have. And if you haven't, you can. You can know what it is to find satisfaction and fulfillment that nothing in this world can provide. All you have to do is come to him. Believe in him for your forgiveness and for your salvation. And then step into this brand new life that he has to offer. Scripture tells me that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and everything has become new. There's new life waiting for you. There's forgiveness waiting for you. There's peace and satisfaction and fulfillment waiting for you. We just have to be seeking Him. Jesus, the bread of life. The choice is yours and only yours. We each have to make that decision for ourselves. And I pray that you have made that decision. And if not, you will do it very soon while you have the opportunity. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. And anyone who believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you know him today? I pray that you do. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for your many blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the life that we find and experience only in him. And Lord, I pray today that if there's one who's hungry, if there's one who's not been able to find satisfaction and sustainment and fulfillment in this life, I pray that right now your Spirit would speak to their heart and they would come to you and believe in you as their Lord and Savior. And eat of the bread of life that only you can offer. Father, we love you today. We thank you. And we give you praise and honor and glory. Help us today. Help us this week to seek after you, to follow you, to live for you, and to show and demonstrate your love to everyone around us. We love you and thank you, and we ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.